Okay. All right. Good morning. I hope that you are doing good this morning. And I've prayed that God's blessings, and I really mean that not in a churchy way, but I pray His blessings are upon you. I pray that every one of you are being blessed, and if you're not, that you will be. And I believe you will be. Blessed with God's Spirit, blessed with health, blessed with protection from all this stuff out there, and blessed with financial prosperity. I really pray that all of you would be so blessed that you don't owe anybody anything, but like the Word says, to love one another. That's where it's at. It's just love. And to have faith, the trust in the truth and of God's Word, and the trust in the strength of it. And we're going to be talking about all that this morning, the truth and strength of God's Word to get us through the rough times, the hard stuff, and then love and faith that has to motivate us. And there's a lot of thoughts here in this, and I want to read this. I'm going to read you a passage in a minute, and we'll share we'll share some truths of that passage and some insights. And see if, you know, just see what God has to offer us today. But I want to give you hope and encouragement. We've seen a lot of rough things out here. We've seen things that we didn't want to see in people. That's been discouraging. And I hear stories and I've seen some things myself and experienced some things and people losing their temper and you know, cussing and yelling at people in stores because the meat or whatever was not, or the bread or toilet tissue was not out where it was supposed to be, you know. And it's like, well, if you quit grabbing 25 rolls, maybe it would be, but that's my little thing. That's but anyway, and then you see good stuff. And we have the bad, we have the good. And friends, it's easy to get focused on the not so good. Our human nature tends to gravitate towards focusing on negative and thinking negative and gloomy thoughts. And the truth is, we kind of get stuck in our box, don't we? We get it, even in our personal lives, we just get hung up. And we build our little box, and we put God in the box. We put church in the box. We put work in the box, and our friends, and everything we begin to relate in our little box, and it's our little world. And you can put your name up there in front of it and say, this is my world. Put your name in there, and it's not the real world. It's your world, my world, and we want God to work like we want God to work. We want life to work like we want it to work. We want church to work like we want it to work, and you know, and church should be this, and church should be that, and what we need to do is look at God's Word and say, what's the truth of it? How's life supposed to be? Not my little box version of it, but how's it supposed to be? And how's God supposed to be? What's my version of God? Does God supposed to fit into my box to where I can really grasp it all, or maybe manipulate Him and make everything fit where I can make life fit into my little world, my little boxy world? And I've really been wondering, like with this corona thing, did God allow this? I don't believe God sent it, but I think he allowed it. Of course he did. Why? Well, I can't answer everything, but one of the things that's been on my mind, and we'll talk about this in the message in a little bit, is have we gotten stuck in our box as Christians? Maybe. You know, have we perhaps gotten so used to just worshiping a certain way? You know, and we want church maybe to be too much for us and not about God. Sometimes being entertained and feeling good can take precedence over faith and love and obedience and serving. And I'm not here to condemn or jump on anything. I'm simply saying, I wonder if God sometimes allows these things to say, hey, it's not about you. It's not about me all the time. As a matter of fact, my life's really supposed to be all about him. And he doesn't fit in boxes. God is the God of the universe. All, everything. And when we try to put him in a box and say, this is where I can understand him if I put him in here and mold him to what, to my image, well, we're supposed to be in his image. And so I'm just thinking, and I want to share this with you, and I have a big backup for it. And it's from an incident out of Matthew. And this message is first of all, the truth, the strength of God's word, but also the challenges of it. The challenge, and within that truth, that framework of truth and strength of God's word, is the challenge and risk of love and faith involved in this thing. And I believe we're being challenged in that. Challenged in our love for God, for each other, and our faith in God. You know, and it's easy to start trying to have faith in what's the government going to do? And how are they going to fix this? And was this nation involved or this or that or some political party and all this stuff? And it's really easy to start putting our faith in the wrong thing. And to start thinking, well, the government's the answer. Getting a check or they're going to, they, whoever they are. The truth is, anything that happens is from God. A scientist may discover something, but God gave the knowledge. He gives the insight. Your doctor may treat you, and I like doctors, but the doctor receives that treatment and that ability to treat and take care of you from God. God gives the gift. God gives the intelligence. God gives the knowledge and the ability to diagnose and treat and so forth. Everything comes from him. That's why it's only to God that we're to give glory, and not to government and not people and not things and not your church, but God. The church doesn't save us. God does. And we go, and we're to go and worship and assemble together and praise him for what he's doing for us all the time and every day of our lives. And so let's move into this and talk about this whole challenge of depending and trusting in God's truth. And having faith and love and the strength of the word, it's all kind of mixed together, and it's a real challenge. And, you know, Peter and Matthew, there's been some things already happening here before the little event that we're going to talk about this morning. And Jesus has already said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, you know, you've got to trust me. You're going to have to really realize I'm the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only way to God. I am the only truth, not your news station. And listen, I know you have your favorite news station, and they do this, and, well, some may be better than others, but I'll tell you this. I'm not sure what the truth is about a lot of things except what's in the Word of God and what he reveals through his Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we need to listen to that and that discerning spirit and wisdom that he gives us, and that's the truth. And so, and then Peter made a little comment. I say little, it was already in John 6. And he answered Jesus, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. And we know that you're the Holy One of God. But the real focus, Peter, it's like, you got it right. To whom shall we go? The government? Or our church? Or who? Center for Disease Control? And that's what Peter was asking. So whom shall we go? You have the words of life. You're the one that's got the answers. I have a little visitor jumped up here this morning, wanted to be part of the video. And that's Reverend Kitty. And I wouldn't let Kitty speak this morning, so Kitty got upset. And, you know, that's kind of like some people. And anyway, so let me give you this word here. I've not done a message where I had Reverend Kitty wanting to speak. So, you know, that just adds a little more to this, I think. So in Matthew 14, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. So I said, let's go cross over the water. And now I want you to hear this. Jesus made his disciples. So what did he do? He told them to do it, and they obeyed. So they're doing what he said, exactly what he said. They didn't alter it in any way. And when he'd sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain and he went to pray. I'll kind of paraphrase this so I won't read too much to you. And he was alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea and it got tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And then, they were having a hard time and they were afraid. And it was being tossed around and, well, they thought they were going to sink. Who wouldn't? And it was a bad, you know what? There was a movie called, Bad Day at Black Rock. This was a bad day for the disciples, a bad evening. And they were out here in this boat, and it's not fun. And then the fourth watch, late in the night, getting towards morning, all of a sudden Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and they saw him. It says they saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, and they said, "It's a ghost," and they're crying out for fear. A ghost, yeah. Well, back then, especially mariners, fishermen, people of the sea believed in spirits and the dead that died, drowned at sea and so forth. They believed their spirits would rise from the depths. I'm not sure it's too far removed from a lot of superstitions we have today. And anyway, they thought he was a ghost. They didn't even recognize the Lord walking on the water. You know why? They didn't expect him to walk on the water. Their expectations were mighty low of Jesus Christ at this point. They had no concept that if he could heal people, do all he was doing, give sight to the blind and heal lepers and so forth, and why couldn't he walk on water? It's never dawned on them. You know why? They already had a little box formed. Let's just say that they were too used to their little boat. And their little boat all of a sudden is about to sink. And do you think Jesus planned this? Do you think he knew the storm was coming? Yeah, he knows everything. You think this is a setup from God? Yeah. He's trying to show them, don't put me in your little box. Or in other words, don't keep me in your little fishing boat. You need to let me out of the boat, and in a moment we're going to see, and you need to get out of yours. So Peter said, "Lord, if it's you," Jesus spoke to them. He said, "Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid." And Peter said, "Well, Lord, if it's you, then let me come, command me, tell me to come walk on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And you know what? Peter did it. He got down from the boat and he did walk on the water. But when he saw the wind was really bad, boisterous, it says, and afraid, beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me. Help me here." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him and he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You were doing so good." And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and then those in the boat worshipped him and said, "Truly you are the Son of God." Isn't this great? Is this what's happening here? Let me give you a few points here. First, stepping out in love and faith is a big risk. Trusting the truth of God and gaining strength from his word, that's tougher than it sounds. And it's a risk when you love. To love anybody, to marry somebody is a little risky. To be a really close friend is a risk. And I know a lot of people, I've counseled with a bunch of people, and I've heard this many, many times. And people have said to me, I just can't trust another person. My husband did this, my wife did that, and I'm just not going to open my heart again. And it's like, then why do you want someone else? Well, I don't want to be alone. Well, you're going to be alone even if they're with you in your house unless you open your heart. If you don't open your heart again, you'll always be alone. You'll feel that way. And a lot of times as Christians, we don't open our heart to God because we've been disappointed, and we're afraid to admit we're disappointed in God because stuff happened like this. Storms came in the night, and we didn't think God would allow that. What we didn't realize was he was trying to show us something much bigger outside of ourselves, and we just wanted to keep him in our little boat box. So stepping out in love and faith and trusting God and his truth of his word is a risk. And listen to this. They did what they were told to do. They did not disobey. They didn't go to a different place. They got in the boat Jesus said to get in, and they took off just like he said to go. And what do you learn from this? following God's not easy. And I think sometimes God allows things like we've had around us to tell us it's not easy, that the straight is the path to God, the path to salvation is a straight and narrow path. It's not curvy, windy. It's a straight and narrow. And it takes a lot to get on the path. You know, you have to submit yourself and obey the Lord and repent of your sins and ask Jesus in your heart. And you got to be willing to what? Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. It's not an easy thing to do. And so here they are obeying him, and it started off good. Like a lot of things in their lives, think in your own life. You really believed you were doing what God wanted you to do, and all this stuff happened. Do you think because stuff happens that you weren't in God's will? I'll tell you one of the things I found in my life and had to learn, and I've had to learn it over and over and over. It's when the stuff is happening, I'm probably the most in his will. Because there's an enemy, the devil, that goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And stuff happens when you're trying to obey God because the enemy wants to stop you. And I wonder sometimes if we've gotten into so much of this, I want to feel good type deal, in a Christian experience, that we forget about being good, being righteous, being who he wants us to be. It's not all about me climbing a mountain and achieving everything I want in life. It's about me getting in that boat and doing what he says, and then finding myself in the middle of the storm and not thinking he's a ghost when he comes to save me. You see this? They were bailing water. You know, it doesn't say what would you be doing? You know, the wind was boisterous. What does that mean? The wind was terrible in the storm, and there's water coming in the boat. You know why they went out there in that boat? Because Jesus told them to. But it was more than that. They loved him, and they had faith that what he said to do was the right thing to do. That's the way we're supposed to be. But guess what happened? It was a risk. And things got rough. And things will get rough when you serve God. And I'm not saying this to discourage you. I'm saying this to encourage you to do what God wants you to do incurs risk that it can get rough. And storms will come up. And weird things happen. Just like this virus thing and tons of stuff that's been happening. That doesn't mean that God is not at work. It doesn't mean that God is mad at us, or he's beating on us, or he's punishing us. I'll tell you what he's using this for. He's using this to mold us. He's using this to expand our concept of who he is, how big he is. He wants our faith to grow. He wants us to learn that don't put me in a box. Don't make me a certain type of God in a certain way of worship. Man, you know, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So love and faith, you know, following, love and faith is a risk. Let me tell you a bigger risk. Facing storms is a big risk. Following the will of God will bring the storms right at you. You know what the storms of life, the enemy, the devil, and the people he uses and the circumstances will come right at you, right in your face. And they'll try to sink you. And I'll tell you about storms. Storms will make you or break you. That's where you find out. Listen, we don't know how strong our faith is or our love for God until what? We're in a storm. They didn't either. Boy, you can say, Lord, you're the way, and where shall we go but you? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But until you experience in him, you experience him personally in your heart, you don't know that. You don't know this. Just reading the word is great. But God wants you to experience it. And to experience it, you have to get out of your box, you got to get out of your boat, and get out in life. And find out and face the storms. You know, the storm will make you break you. It'll challenge you. It'll test you. It'll test your love. It'll test your faith to see if your love and for Jesus, your faith in Jesus is the real deal. By the way, if it's not, it can be. These guys, for them, these are his disciples. It wasn't as real as it was about to be. These storms in life, this virus thing and whatever else life throws at you, it'll mold you, it'll strengthen you, and it'll really test you. But in the end, we're all going to come out of this stronger and better. And maybe we're going to see church in a different light. Maybe we won't take it for granted, and maybe we won't take God for granted. Maybe we'll learn to trust Him day by day like we're supposed to, and not trust the grocery store, or just running down the street and, wait till we're out, or running your gas tank on, to empty mark before you fill it up. Maybe God is saying, you might want to trust me a little more and do some practical things. Anyway, that's another story, another message. So facing storms is a big risk. And then let me tell you what's a huge challenge for us, a big risk, big challenge. Getting out of your comfort zone. This virus thing has put all of us out of our comfort zone. And we don't like it. But one of the best things that can happen to every one of us is once in a while to get knocked out of our comfort zone and to have to do new things, find different ways to live life. But most of all, discover a different concept of God, a bigger, broader, deeper faith in Him. We've had to learn, as Christians, we're having to learn to trust Him more. And you know what? He's come through for us. And He's going to keep coming through. God is accomplishing what He wants to accomplish, and that's to draw the hearts of His people back to Himself. And don't trust in anything else, not the church, not the government, not anything. Church is great. That's where we come together to worship God. But we worship God, not people. And we need to keep that in mind. And so Peter said, "Lord, command me to come out and to come to you." And Jesus did. And you know what? I admire him. He took a risk. Not the rest of them didn't ask that. They were terrified. At least Peter stepped out of the boat. And he did something no one else has been able to do. Jesus walked on water, but Peter walked on at least a little ways. That's a big thing. The rest of them stayed in the boat. But Peter was able to experience a miracle. You know why? He got out of his comfort zone. He got out of the boat and he began to walk. And yes, he looked around and he saw how bad these waves were, and his humanity, his human thing took over. And he said, "This is not supposed to be happening." Isn't that what we do with God? When God's working miracles and things are just going inside, don't we often look for the shoe to drop when things are going too good? This is not going to last. How can it? That's the same thing as looking at the waves when you're walking on water and saying, "This can't, this shouldn't be. This can't be happening. This is not real." And when we doubt, see, we begin to sink. Got good news for you though. He didn't drown. You know, Jesus loves us even when we're human, even when we mess up royally. Peter cried out, "Lord, I'm sinking, I'm going to drown." Jesus had no intention of him drowning. He was teaching his boy something, like he's teaching all of us. And he lets us start sinking in the water with our doubts and our fears and all this stuff. And he just reached out his hand and picked him up. And he asked, "Peter, why are you doubting me?" I think he's asking us all that. "Why are you doubting me? Why don't you just let go and let God, let me do my God thing? Let me really change your life. Make you a witness out there." Well, he saved Peter. He lifted him up out of the water. Let me tell you something. You can stay in the boat, or you can get out of your comfort zone and walk on the water. And you may start to sink, but Jesus will never let you drown. And you can let things like what's going on around us cause you to hide behind your mask. Or you can step out of your boat and you can start walking. And you can say, come hell or high water, no matter what this life throws at me, greater is Jesus in me than he that's in the world. And I love, and you know, there's a place here that you have that God wants us to reach. He truly does. To where we can say, I love you, Lord, more than I love myself. I love you, Lord, more than I love my safety. I love you, Lord, enough to get in the boat when you tell me to get in it. But I love you enough, Lord, to step out and start walking and trust you. And Lord, I love you so much and have so much faith in you that I know even if I begin to sink because I'm human, you'll never let me drown, and he won't. I believe that's what he's trying to teach us. And for all of us, he's saying, do you love me? That's what he asked Peter on the shore. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Why did he pick on Peter? Because Peter had experienced denial. He'd experienced a whole bunch of things. He'd been rebuked with Jesus. But also because Peter was the only one of the group who was willing to get out of his little boat, his comfort zone, and walk on the water. And I challenge you today, in faith and love for Jesus Christ, I challenge you with the truth of God's word, when he speaks to your heart, when you read in the word that he wants you to do something, I challenge you to do it. And even if you start to sink in the waves, he'll lift you up. Jesus, Peter not only was able to experience walking on water, which was what a miracle, but you know what he experienced firsthand that the others didn't get to experience because he got out of his little boat of his comfort zone? He was able to experience the saving power of Jesus Christ to lift him up from the waves and put him back and rescue him. Friends, it's only when you take the risk to trust in the Word of God to receive strength from it. It's when you take the risk to love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. It's when you take the risk to step out in faith and get out of your boat that you experience Christ and you experience him more fully, more genuinely, and you become a changed person. Peter was different because he got out of the boat. Get out of the boat and experience what God has for you and who you really is. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you all in church. All of you in your churches, wherever you go, it's going to be okay. Get out of that blasted boat and just let go and trust him. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose again for you. He's sitting at God's right hand interceding for you. Listen, just get out of that boat, no matter what it looks like, and walk to him. He's right there, and he'll never, ever let you go. Let me pray with you. Father, give us the strength, the courage to trust you. Give us the courage, Father, to get out of our blasted little boats, our comfort zones. And that's what you're doing, is you've shaken us all, and we're living life different, but it can be so much better. Instead of looking at what isn't, God, help us to look at what is, that God's in control, that nothing's bigger than God. And God used this to bring us out of our little boats of comfort and to walk on that water, whatever that may mean for all of us, and to experience your hand lifting us up when we do stumble, and to experience what it's like to be a real live human being and yet to serve a real live Almighty God and a faithful, loving Jesus Christ. Oh God, heal your people. Save your people. Oh God, bless each and every one this day, every day, with the fullness of your Spirit, with all the faith, with all the love, with all the truth and the strength of your word. And we just renounce you, Satan, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father God, Jesus, fill us with your Spirit to overflowing as rivers of living water. And God, bless your people indeed. Bless them, and use us to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.